we turn now to our final story in our ongoing series on the science of health. In a groundbreaking study of the links between the pesticide DDT and cancer risk, scientists have found that women who were exposed to the chemical in utero were nearly 4 times more likely to get breast cancer than the general population. Previous studies had not found such a link because they examined direct exposure, not in utero exposure. So in a nutshell, pregnant women were exposed to DDT and gave birth to daughters who suffered the consequences. The study examined blood taken from 20,000 pregnant women in Oakland, California, between 1959 and 1967, when DDT was commonly used and accumulated in foods and other parts of our environment. Of the 9,300 daughters born from those pregnancies, 118 developed breast cancer. While DDT was banned in the U.S. in 1972, many countries continue to use the chemical. Joining me now is the study author, Barbara Cohn, and she's a researcher at the Public Health Institute in Berkeley, California. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So why did previous studies not find a link, a significant link between DDT and cancer? Was it just that they were looking at the wrong generation, those who were directly exposed rather than their offspring?
The reason is that the people who worked on this originally worked with the data that they had, and the best data that most people had at the time was information on people in midlife. They could sometimes follow people forward midlife from midlife to see who developed cancer, but there was no opportunity really to look at women who were exposed when very young and to actually measure what they were exposed to at a sensitive period. So I believe that the studies, including a very large study done in Long Island, New York, which found no connection between DDT and breast cancer, did find no connection because they were looking at the wrong time in life rather than the wrong generation.
Wrong time in life. So the study that you did essentially looked at blood samples from a long time ago, and that's pretty incredible that there is even such a data set available for you to study.
The data set is considered by me and also by others to be a national treasure. It started in 1959 by a totally brilliant man who understood that a very good way to follow people was to start inside the Kaiser Foundation Health Plan, that now called Kaiser Permanente, which we all know very well. And we have been very, very fortunate to also live in an area that has been surveilled for cancer incidents, first by the National SEER Registry and now by the California Cancer Registry, so that we were able to actually follow these two generations of women now for 54 years, understand who got sick, understand who didn't, and were able then to take stored blood samples to look at risk factors for the disease.
Were you surprised by the results? I mean, nearly 4 times more likely to get breast cancer than the general population. That's strong. That's not within the noise.
Yeah. So the answer to that is yes and no. The yes part is that it is both surprising and unusual to find an event that happens 50 years before cancer to be so strongly related to it, other than something like family history, which does have very, very strong effects on a woman's risk. So in that case, that was surprising. The no part is that we know a lot about the vulnerability of the breast in utero and at particularly important developmental times in life. In utero, during pregnancy, during puberty, during pregnancy, likely during the time that the breast returns to pre-pregnant state during lactation, and maybe again during the perimenopause. So if you have the fortune to be able to examine direct exposure during one of those times, we would expect to get a little bit closer to understanding risk than we do if we cannot measure risk at those times.
So let's talk about DDT itself, this chemical. I'm going to try to say what it actually stands for, dichlorodiphenyl trichloroethane. What exactly does this chemical do in the body? What is your theory as to why it can trigger or cause cancer in women who are exposed as fetuses?
So this is an excellent question, but I have to say first off that in a human study like this, where thank God we don't do experiments, we can't really exclude other things that ride along with DDT as the reason for the relationship we saw. And so the next step is to find out about why is to do animal studies or studies in the petri dish in the laboratory so that you can isolate DDT itself and see what its action really is. That being said, there's been suspicion about DDT for a long time for a number of really good and reasonable reasons. The first is, and most people may be aware of this, is that DDT was banned because of its effect on wildlife. And it seemed to interrupt reproduction in a number of animals, particularly birds. And so that's the first clue that it might have an influence on the hormone systems that are very active in helping the breast form and respond to the needs for lactation later on. And so we call DDT an endocrine disruptor. DDT and its related compounds have been shown to have influences on hormone action in the body. And any of those systems are very sensitive, especially in utero. And so there was reason to suspect that DDT might have a risk via those effects.
So it was technically banned in 1972. The EPA classifies DDT as a probable carcinogen. It is, as I understand, still manufactured in the U.S., but only for sale in other parts of the world. I mean, this is kind of sad. Do you hope that your study might caution those who continue to use DDT outside the U.S.?
So I'm not sure we still make it, by the way. You might check.
Okay.
I believe it's not manufactured in the U.S. anymore, but it is still manufactured elsewhere. That's my understanding, but we'd have to check to see.
Okay.
But this is an extremely important question, and it lets me say why I do the work I do and maybe what the contribution of science is to health and policy. So my goal is to try to provide information to the people who need to make decisions or are empowered to make decisions about what happens next, both in their own personal lives, but also at the community level or the global level in terms of, you know, a health policy. Mm-hmm. And so the problem here is that the study we just did, it doesn't change the benefits that have been attributed to DDT, which are certainly debated, but are there. Malaria is a terrible disease, and WHO's decision to promote its use in countries where it still is very prevalent was really based on trying to save the lives of women and children who are particularly vulnerable to the effects of malaria. That being said, this new data does provide more information about potential risks. And it's my hope that by doing this work, that the people who are making decisions about what to do next with the use of malaria globally around the world will take this information into account as they make new decisions. We know a little bit more now about what happens in villages where these chemicals are sprayed, even when they are sprayed carefully. We know they're getting into people, but there is a movement and a beginning of discussion, even in the scientific literature, about learning how to protect people better than we have been able to in the past.
So just to reiterate, the World Health Organization has declared its support for limited indoor use of DDT in some African countries where malaria remains a huge problem. Now, your study examined blood samples from pregnant women to examine and then followed whether their offspring, their daughters, had contracted breast cancer and at what rate. What about men? Is there potential for future studies to see the effects on men who might have been exposed in utero for other cancers?
Yes. So we have also studied testis cancer and have a published paper on the relationship between DDT and testis cancer. And we did find a significant effect. And we continue our studies. Also, we're not only interested in DDT, nor are we only interested in breast cancer, because we have a very large study population. As you pointed out, we had 20,000 pregnancies. About half resulted in males and half resulted in females. And we have the opportunity to study not only DDT, but diseases like diabetes and cardiovascular disease and hypertension, and have begun to publish on those as well. This is all driven by the concept that what happens very early in life, particularly in the womb, may be extremely important to later life health. And we have one of the only data sets that I know of, certainly in the United States and probably in the world, that can quantitate, you know, actually directly measure exposure in the blood of both the mother during her pregnancy, but also the father around the time of conception in relation to the risk that a woman or her children or eventually her grandchildren or great-grandchildren might have in later generations. We'd have to wait 50 years to start a new study like this. It would be outrageously expensive. And so we're hoping to continue this work and both looking at breast cancer in the future, but also other very important causes of health problems and morbidity in later life.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting to see the impacts of exposure, particularly in terms of fathers at the time of conception. That's something that we don't, you know, even address very much. Often it's pregnant women who are told to protect themselves as much as possible, but certainly the father plays half a role there.
Yes, we're beginning to extend our studies to the father, yeah. And we have really only just begun. And in many ways, it was the prescience of the founder of this study in 1959. I mean, I was 8 years old when this study started. I'm the third director. The first director passed away in 1972, the second director 2 years ago. And I'm hoping there'll be a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth director who can continue to use this data to understand how to protect the health of us all. It's the idea anyway.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Barbara Cohn, for joining us. Best of luck in all of your work, and thank you for what you've done.
Thank you for having me.
My guest, Barbara Cohn, is the author of the study on DDT exposure and breast cancer links that we've just been discussing as part of our series on the science of health. She's a researcher at the Public Health Institute in Berkeley, California. That does it for our program today. This is Uprising.